John chapter 10, verses 19 to 24. I'm not going to kid you that this is a brand new message that I prepared. We only got home yesterday. This is an old one. You haven't heard it before, but quite old one, but it was made very real to me in my holidays, in my discussions with someone that I got to spend a bit of time with, and made it very real, this message and the things that are revealed in the passage. So we're going to read from verses 19 down to verse 24, where it says, "There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." And let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can come and we can consider you and worship you. And Father, allow your word to minister to us. And I pray that as we consider the truths that are revealed in this passage, as we have perfectly recorded the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that your Spirit will illuminate us, convict us, and Lord, bear witness with our own spirit that we are truly yours or not. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in that reading, we read of a time when Jesus was at Jerusalem at a feast. And he was there in the temple in Solomon's porch. And as he was there, he was confronted by the Jews, no doubt Pharisees and the scribes, and they wanted to know something. Question, I'm guessing, was very well talked about amongst the Jews at that time. And they went up to him and they said, as we read there in verse 24, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." So stop beating around the bush, Jesus. If you are the Messiah, we want to know plainly if you are or not. And Jesus replies with a pretty plain answer, I believe, where it says there in verse 25, "I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." And so Jesus had already told them that he was the Messiah. And he had showed them through the proofs of the miracles that he was the Son of God as well. And yet they still didn't believe him. And then he goes on in verse 26, and Jesus tells them why they didn't believe. It says, "But ye believe not, because this is the reason you don't believe, ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." And so they didn't believe that Jesus was God's Son and that he was sent as the Messiah because they weren't his sheep. Jesus wasn't their shepherd, and they weren't his sheep. And I'm not exactly sure how they responded to hearing the Lord Jesus say this. They may not have cared that they weren't his sheep. But what I do want to highlight as we start looking at this passage is these Pharisees, although they didn't believe that they were Jesus' sheep or didn't even care if they were, they certainly believed that they were God's sheep. All right? They didn't think Jesus was from God, and so they didn't care if they were his sheep or not. But they certainly believed that they were God's sheep. And the reason for that being is they were Jews, they were of Abraham, they were a part of the chosen people, and so they firmly believed that Jesus, or God, I should say, was their shepherd. He was there to protect them and to care for them and to guide them and so on. Little did they know, though, that the blessings of being God's children and being his sheep and being the true children of Abraham didn't come through physical birth. That's what they were trusting in. The physical birth, that line that came from Abraham. And little did they realize that being a true child of God came through faith and obedience in him. Now, Jesus had already told them this. If we flip back to John chapter 8, we see the words of the Lord Jesus probably to the same people. It says there in John chapter 8, verse 39, "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it," and so on. And so Jesus was letting them know very clearly that although they may have that physical connection with Abraham, they didn't have a spiritual connection with Abraham, and that's what really counted to be the children of God. They thought they were God's children. He was their father and he was their shepherd, but the reality was Satan was their father. And this was obvious for all to see, because they didn't act like God's people. Now, they acted like their true father, and that is the devil himself. And so, here we get this picture. Even though this group of religious people believed that God was their shepherd and they were his sheep, it was the furthest thing from the truth. And you know, there are many people today that are mistaken like these Jews. Many today think that they are God's children, not because of the line of Abraham, like the Jews did at this point in time, but because they believe that they're a Christian. They believe that they are one of Christ's sheep, and he is their shepherd, and so God is their heavenly Father. And so they are convinced as well that they are God's sheep, just like the Jews. Sadly, though, for many of them, they're wrong. And you know, maybe you're here today, and this is what I want to consider today, is maybe you're sitting here today, and if I went up and asked you, "Are you a Christian? Are you going to go to heaven when you die?" You would probably answer, "Yes." You believe that you are a Christian for one reason or another. You believe that God loves you and Jesus cares for you. He's your shepherd, and you're going to go and be with him. But the reality is that the truth, all right? Many people think that they're saved, but sadly there are some that truly aren't. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying that Christ is your shepherd and you are his sheep. You know, I say that. You know, if someone comes up and says, "Are you a Christian?" I'll say, "Yes." "Are you going to go to heaven when you die?" "Yes," all right? There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's a wonderful comfort in knowing that Christ is your shepherd and he's there to provide for you and lead you and protect you and so on. When you turn to Psalm 23 and you read those wonderful verses where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd," and you can apply those things to yourself, they are wonderful things. And so there's nothing wrong with saying and thinking that, but just saying that you are the sheep of Christ and you're the child of God doesn't make you one. You have to be one. Just like we see here with these Jews, they said, "God is our father. We are his children." And Jesus says, "No, you're of your father, the devil." And here in verses 27 to 29, Jesus tells us some wonderful things about his sheep. But he also tells us what his sheep are like. You say that you're one of Christ's sheep? Well, this is what they are like. Don't try and say, no, "I'm one of his sheep, but I'm like this." No, the shepherd says, "This is what my sheep are like." The Pharisee said they were the children of God, but Jesus said, "You're not, because you don't act like the children of God. There are certain characteristics that come from being a child of God." And he says, "You don't act like it." It's the same with Christians. or those who profess to be a child of God. You know, you look at fathers, you see the father doing certain things, and you see the children imitate them, and they take on the characteristics of their father. It just is taught. You know, they just see it and they copy it. Well, that should be the same for us. If we are the children of God, there are certain characteristics that we should just naturally copy. We don't even have to try and do it. It should just come naturally as the children of God. And that's what we need to look. That's what I want to look at this morning. Are we truly the children of God? Because here we have here a test. And I encourage you to take the challenge. Jesus said, there are some certain things that my sheep will act like. And if you say you're one of Christ's sheep, you say you're a Christian, well then I encourage you to see if this is what you are like. When I was on holidays, we stayed with Linda's brother for a week, and he had this perpetual visitor. Amazing. Straight after work, he just came to their place. He didn't go home, just their place. Stayed till about 10, went home to his place, went to work, come straight back. He was Saturday morning, you wake up at 8 o'clock and he's coming in there with his little daughter, spending the day. A perpetual visitor, amazing. Anyway, sitting there, he's all with the family and him. And we were just sitting there by ourselves. And I said, oh, do you go to church with Kevin? That's my brother-in-law. He said, yeah. And I go, how long have you been going there? Oh, a few years now. I said, oh, great. I said, so when did you get saved? And he looked at me with this blank look. I said, oh, you just go to church? Yeah, I go to church. And then we got a time a little bit later on, and I said, you know, I've been really worried about what you said to me about how you got to church, but you didn't know when you got saved. I said, so when you die, where do you think you're going to go, heaven or hell? He goes, oh, heaven. Okay, well, but what about the sins that you've committed? I haven't done very much wrong for a long time now, he says. I go, oh, okay, but what about the sin that you have committed? What about that? Oh. And there's this blandness. This guy has gone to church. He goes to church every week for quite a number of years. He says he's going to heaven, and he doesn't even know if he's saved. He doesn't even know what that means. That's scary. That scares the life out of him. I told him, I'm scared for you. And he needs to do a test like this to see if he's truly a shepherd, a sheep of the shepherd. And Jesus says some basic things here. If we look in verse 27, the first thing he says is, my sheep hear my voice. Pretty simple stuff. My sheep hear my voice. Now, Jesus obviously wasn't meaning to hear the words in the sense of hearing the sounds that he made, because the Jews were hearing him speak at that time. They heard him speak many a times. The word there, hear, means to hearken or to obey or to accept. That's what it's really meaning here. And so Jesus says, my sheep hearken to my voice. Now, there's a very big difference between hearing and hearkening, whichever one it is. You can hear your parents say something, but it doesn't mean you hearken. Your father can say, do not go outside. Children can hear it, but if they go outside, they haven't hearkened. Big difference. Mum says, can you take the rubbish out up to the road? You can hear it, but not hearken to those words. And Jesus says to these Pharisees, my sheep hear, hearken to my voice. And you know, sadly, there are many people that profess to be Christians. They're going to heaven. They hear the words of Christ. They hear his voice to follow and to obey, yet they do not hearken. And they live a life just as they please. And that scares me. And Jesus says to these Jews, my sheep hearken to my voice. They accept it. And you know, I'm sitting here thinking of this chap that I met. His name was Glenn. And I'm thinking, that must be scary for him. I remember saying to him, I said, what about all the sins you have committed? You know, I know you may not do much now, but what about the ones you have? How are you going to have them forgiven? And he said, well, because Jesus died for me? It was like a quiz. Is that the right answer? Yeah, I know he did die for you. But have you ever asked him to forgive you? Oh, yeah. He says, when I was about 4, I prayed and asked him to forgive me. Yeah. Like, oh, that's really good to hear that. But, you know, God tells us that we can know if we really are his or not. Because once God, you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Spirit comes inside and he starts to change you. And one of the things is you start to want to obey the Lord and you hate sin. And although you may commit sin still, but you want to do the right thing and start listening to him. Has that happened in your life? No, he says. It's clear as it. No. And that's scary. And, you know, I know of many people, I know all of you, and I'm not pointing, I don't know all of you, but I know most of you, but I know of some people in my life who would profess to be a Christian, but they do not hearken to the voice of the Lord. And that is scary. They should be scared. They have heard the shepherd's call to obey, to get out of some sin, to start living a certain way, and yet they hear it week after week, time after time, but there's no change. They are happy to do exactly how they like to live. When Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," that's it. Not sometimes. My sheep hear my voice when they feel like it. No, my sheep hear my voice. Can I encourage you? Is that you? Not just come to church every week and hear the Word of God, but when the Lord speaks to you, is there something where he says, "I need to start hearkening"? If he's been telling you something for weeks or months or years, and you know you should be doing something, you know there's something in your life that needs to get out, and you haven't changed, that's a serious problem. Either the Holy Spirit is very grieved with you as he dwells within, or there is no Holy Spirit. My sheep hear my words, Jesus says, or hearken. But then he goes on and says these wonderful words in verse 27, "And I know them, and they follow me." The next part, "and I know them." You know, Jesus told these Jews here that he knows his sheep. You know, the shepherds of those days would know each sheep individually. I dare say they would have had names for them. I know when I worked on a dairy farm, we had about 120 in the herd at one time, and I had to know every cow by name. That was what my boss made me. So I would know each one. They probably don't do that now. They're big business, but I had to know each one by name. So that was Clarabelle, that was Pixie, that was whatever, you know. We'd have to know all their names. And so as the herd was going up to the dairy, if one of the neighbours had got in, I would notice it straight away. "Hey, I don't know your name. I don't know you. I don't know your features." I knew everyone. And those shepherds would know exactly who their sheep was. And if one had strayed in as they go by, he would say, "You're not one of mine." The shepherd knows his sheep. And quite frankly, we need to understand Jesus knows exactly who he's are as well. We may be able to put on a nice act. We may be able to convince others, even convince ourselves. But Jesus knows who are his. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. We have this explained again to us. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." God's children will be led by the Spirit of God. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And it goes on to say, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. And so we're told here that the Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God or the children of God. There will be an understanding where God, we will see the working of God in us and through us. There will be that comfort that comes that we don't receive outside of Christ. There will be that joy and desire for His Word and His love for His Word that you don't normally have. You don't seek the Word of God like that. And to seek to be refined by the Word of God, unless you are truly the child of God, as the Spirit of God does that work in you. You won't have the Holy Spirit convicting you if you're not one of the children of God, and so on. The Spirit of God goes to work in a person when they are the child of God. I was saying to this Glenn, said, have you ever, like that time when you got saved, or you said you got saved, when you prayed that prayer, have you, like, when it comes to sin, you have a conviction about sin where you feel bad when you sin? He said, no. Have you ever, like, had a desire to obey God's word and to do it? No. This guy is the most unsaved guy I've ever met. You know, at least he was honest. But the Spirit of God will go to work in a person's heart and bear witness that he is truly one of his. And we need to do the check. From that time when you said you were saved, is there evidence that the Spirit of God has been bearing witness with your spirit that you are truly one of His? There's been a working taking place. There's been a transformation take place in your soul. It needs to be there, Jesus said. But then He goes on and says this last little part. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, He says. The word follow me is the word imitate. Do the same as. You know how you, when you have one, it's usually a younger brother, one of those annoying younger brothers, and they start imitating everything. You know, you scratch your head, so they'll scratch. I know what goes on down here, especially in the car, you know. One scratches their head, the other one has to, or does that and says hello, hello. You know, you've got to imitate everything, you know. Generally, it's done for annoyance sake, but this is what the word is like here. They follow me. Jesus says they imitate me. They act like him. Now, these proud, stubborn, unloving Pharisees didn't act like Christ. Now, they were hypocrites. They had a show of godliness when people could see them, but in their hearts and behind closed doors where nobody could see them, they did the very things that they said they hated and the very things that they told others not to do. They were the opposite of Jesus. Jesus had a pure heart and he had pure actions, pure thoughts, both when he was with others and when he was by himself. And he had a sincere, genuine love for his heavenly Father. And if you're one of his sheep, you will imitate Christ. You will be like that. Your love for your Father will be genuine. It won't be hypocritical. You'll have a desire to be like him. When it's revealed in the Word of God that this is how he wants you to be, a child of God will want to imitate and follow like Christ. Not, I'm not being like that. There will be the desire to imitate him. Do the things, think the things, watch the things, say the things that he is. We will be a true Christian, which simply means a little Christ. That's where it comes from. Little Christ. That's what we will be. Not just in the presence of others, but when you're by yourself. You won't change depending on what group you are with. You will just stand out regardless. A little Christ. You know, that sometimes scares me. It certainly scares me for others when I know that they teach one thing and then they live a completely different life behind closed doors. That's not following Christ or imitating him. That's following the Pharisees. We need to be sure. You know, Jesus says those three simple things. Now, if we wanted to open up the Word of God to find that assurance of salvation, there are many other places we could go to and align ourselves up. But these were just three simple things that Jesus said that we so easily miss. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep, well, I know who are my sheep, and they follow me. Can you say that? You know, for those who can sincerely say, I know I'm one of his. Well, he goes on to say some encouraging words because he says there in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. You know, for the believer, he gives eternal life. You know, the eternal God, the eternal shepherd, gives eternal life. Now, that's not eternal existence. That's eternal life. You know, there's a very big difference between life and existence. We can go to some hospitals at the moment and you can go and see some people who are existing. But that's not living. We are living. We can come out and live. There are some people that are stuck on some machine and they can't go anywhere else. They're brain dead, so to speak, or are completely paralyzed all over and they can't do anything. They can't live like we live. That's an existence. We get to live. And that's the same when it comes to eternity. Christ's sheep get to have eternal life. That is eternal joy and pleasure and love and fellowship. That's life. You know, for others who aren't his sheep, they get an eternal existence. I think it'd be easier, nicer, to just cease to exist. And that's why some people, you preach annihilation, some religions. Once you die, if you're not one of God's people, you just cease to exist. Now, I know that as a selfish person, I reckon if that was the reality, I would seek pleasure now and then cease to exist. That's how selfish I am. But the fear of knowing that I don't cease to exist in that sense, I exist in eternal punishment, I will, if I reject Christ. I'll have eternal torment, eternal fear, eternal pain, eternal sorrow when I die. That's what made me seek the salvation that is in Christ. And that's what he gives. He gives eternal life to the believer. And he says, he goes on to say there in verse 28, and they shall never perish. That's the eternal punishment. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And that is the eternal security that each believer can enjoy. That we have that eternity secured when we are one of his sheep. But the question is, are you one of them? Not just how long have you gone to church, how long do you think you're going to go to heaven? Does the Spirit of God dwell within, knowing? And you know for sure that you are. Do you have the characteristics of a child of God? You know, we read, once the Jews heard this, it says there in verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Wouldn't it have been nice if it said that they broke down and repented of their sin and sought salvation? But they took up stones to stone him. They rejected him and thus revealing their true nature. They rejected the Son of God. And you know, if you've heard the words of Christ time after time, if you've heard them today, and heard the voice of the shepherd saying you need to turn from your sin, turn from the way that you're living and follow me, and you can go out that door and not change. Say, I will not hearken. I will not change. I'll do exactly the way that I have been. I'll live exactly the way that I have been living. Well, then maybe you are just like these Pharisees. You think you're one of Christ's sheep. You think that you are a child of God, but you're not. This is not a new thing. It happened from the days of Christ, and it's been happening ever since. We need to make sure that we are truly born again, brethren. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, the Lord tells us. There is no greater thing to be sure of than that we are truly the children of God. That's my encouragement today after being faced so bluntly with the reality of that just in the last week or two. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the day. We thank you for our Saviour. Thank you that He died on that cross for everyone. And that, Lord, that free salvation is there if we would believe and turn to you. And Lord, if there is but one that has heard it, the gospel message, who even thinks that if they were to perish this day, they would go to heaven, but they know that they are not living as one of your sheep. That, Lord, your Spirit will convict and make very clear to them where they stand before you. And Lord, if they know that they are not ready to meet you, Lord, they will search me or somebody out to have those things made clear today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.